Let's make today the day you get one step closer to becoming the parent you've always wanted to be and the parent your children deserve. Hi, and welcome to Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. I am your host, Erin Taylor, and I have wanted to help parents and children literally since I was 11 years old. I created this podcast to help you make a stronger, healthier, deeper connection to your child, to understand the inevitable challenges a little better, and learn some new ways to navigate them when they occur. Thank you for spending some time with me. Now let's get this show started. Hello and welcome back to the show. Today is episode 647, and I am really excited to have my new friend, Chirag Shamassian. Did I do a good job?
Yeah, it's very good. Okay. Thank you.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So, Dr. Chirag is the founder of Shamassian Academic Consulting and one of the world's foremost experts in higher education admissions, in particular medical school. He has found his professional calling helping people achieve their educational and career goals. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to chat with you because I know a lot of my listeners have teenagers who are working their way or, you know, setting their sights on college. And I personally have one in college and one who's a junior and then another one who just started high school. So this is right in my wheelhouse and I'm always interested to chat about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a high stress time for so many families and, you know, for parents, you know, we often have dreams of where our children will, you know, receive their education, what careers they'll pursue. And, you know, when it comes to preschool and kindergarten and junior high and high school and all these kinds of things, usually we have a decision about where they attend, you know,
right.
But when it comes to college, it's the first time for most people where someone else decides whether or not they get to attend there. So it's a whole different experience. And sometimes it could be a little bit rattling. You know, you have your expectations and your expectations sometimes aren't met and just leads to a lot of reflection and thinking through, you know, what the next steps are for your life. So it's a stressful time and I'm eager to get into it.
I think you already brought up a good point that college for many families is the first time where somebody else is making the decision. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at first glance, you might think an admissions team is making the decision for where the child will go. But if you peel back that layer, it might also be hopefully the child making the decision about where they want to go, which may or may not match up with what the parents have in mind.
Sure.
And I know that can cause endless amounts of tension between parents and kids. What has your experience with that been?
Absolutely. So, you know, going back to, you know, my comment about parent expectations, you know, it's real. A lot of times, you know, I've spoken with parents over the years where a lot of the push towards top colleges, you know, comes from parents primarily, and it stems from that. And that's not a bad thing, so long as there's no disconnect, right? So in cases where students are intrinsically motivated or really buy into a certain, you know, hope that their parents might have had, or they, you know, maybe their parents' hopes reflect what the child has communicated in the past, then no problem. You know, everything's aligned. Issues start coming up when, you know, parents have a certain goal, but then that's not necessarily shared by the kids. It might be verbally, but then when you dig a little bit deeper, they're not really sure why they would do, you know, pursue a certain course of study or a certain career. Or, you know, sometimes in private, you know, students will tell me, I don't even know why my mom cares that much or why my dad cares that much or whatever the case might be. I really just want to do X. And in those cases, there's going to be some friction and a little bit more tension because, like I said, this process is inherently stressful. And, you know, it sort of reflects what our expectations and hopes are for our kids. Maybe even the way that we want to be viewed by other parents in our community. You know, if our kids get in, it's sort of like a, you did a good job parent, or, you know, I work with a lot of parents who are immigrants to this country, and it's really a reflection of like, oh, my child got into a great school. They're going to be fine. We did okay here in this new place. And so there are so many layers to this process, you know, and I want to make sure that families, you know, have the right perspective and consider all the different, you know, layers to make sure that their students are in the right place, because we live in a country where we're spoiled for choice. You know, at the end of the day, most people who are applying to college in this country, especially students that we work with, it's not a question of if they will get in somewhere, right? Chances are very high that they will get in somewhere. Mm-hmm. The question is where. Versus in medical school, it's very different in that it's a question of if you will get in somewhere. And if you don't, then, you know, you're not going to be a physician, which is a whole different, you know, shakeup in your life. And so, but, you know, I think college is the first real test of, you know, going through this process where somebody else is making a decision about your education and, you know, by proxy, your future, your career, and all this kind of stuff.
Such a good point. And I think it's important to highlight that when parents have these expectations and visions of what their child will do as a career, what school they'll go to, all of that stuff, it does have many layers and it's very complicated. But I think at the core of it is there is a layer of oftentimes of, you know, looking good to others. My child is in X school or that one or this one. But at the very base root, I think that parents really have the purest of intentions and always have the purest of intentions that they want what's best for their child. But I think particularly in the case of what they do after high school, whether it's college, which college, but also whether they have a different career, a trade, open their own business, whatever.
Yeah.
What the parents think is best for their child might actually not be what is best for the child. And I think that's where the friction, you know, I think that's where sometimes parents and kids start drifting apart in that piece right there. Do you notice that?
Exactly. It's when we get carried away, I think, you know, about maybe putting too much stock in this kind of thing, or maybe giving it too much meaning, if that, you know, if that makes sense. Essentially thinking, well, if they get into X school, they're okay. If they get into Y school, there's still work to do, or they're not okay, or whatever. But newsflash, you can get into the best school in the world, and there's still going to be work to do. I think we hope that our students very early on figure it all out, right? So I get questions like, Dr. Shmasian, you know, my child's in ninth grade. Will you help them find their passion by 10th grade? I'm like, you know, maybe, you know, people develop that at different, you know, in different ways. And you actually have to explore. It's not, you know, sometimes I tell parents, this isn't like Isaac Newton where, you know, he's sitting under a tree, the apple falls on his head and he figures it out. I'm sure, you know, discovering gravity was way more complicated than that, but, you know, to oversimplify it a bit, but it's kind of treated that way. You know, it's like, oh, you know, how are you going to help them discover their passion? You don't just wake up one day knowing what it is. You actually have to pursue things that are interesting to you and, you know, not just try to do 10 different things at a surface level, right? And hoping, you know, one day you'll figure it out. No, you have to actually deeply pursue things, and over time your interest grows. And, you know, if we're being honest with ourselves, even as adults and parents and all this kind of stuff, it's not like we have it all figured out. I know plenty of people who go to college and medical school and they're like, now what am I going to do? I don't know what setting I want to work in. I've thought about doing consulting work in healthcare, but I don't know. It's hard to give up this $300,000 salary or whatever the case. So it's not a situation where, you know, at 15, you got to figure it out. You just, you know, smoothly tread down this path and then everything is gravy. It doesn't work that way. And so resetting expectations, I think, is important. And, you know, seeing ourselves and our kids as works in progress, I think, is a healthy way of looking at it. It doesn't mean you shouldn't have high expectations. Believe me, I have incredibly high expectations for our students and the families we support. I just want to make sure that we're approaching it the right way and not thinking, well, by, you know, by this date, this thing needs to happen. By this next date, this other thing needs to happen. If my kid gets into this school, they're great. If not, everything is ruined. Right? It's mm-hmm. it's not black and white like that. Mm-hmm. And if we have the perspective of, all right, this is a growth process and we have to help see our kids through it, well, then I think that's one of the biggest gifts we can give to our kids as parents.
That is so true. And what you're saying really resonates with me because, as I said in the beginning of our chat, my daughter is a junior in high school. And so she's turning her sights. She has turned her sights to, what do I do after high school?
Yep.
And she's clear that she wants to go to college. I never put those expectations on them.
Sure.
But she is definitely like, she would be a perennial student if she could, because she loves to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So that part was kind of a given for her. I knew she would want to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
But what to study in college is a whole other ballgame.
Yep.
And she has a lot of different interests. She's extremely creative, and she can play the piano and the ukulele, and she can hear a song on the radio and go sit down with one of those instruments, and in 5 minutes she can figure out that.
That's awesome.
That song. It's so crazy. It just boggles my mind watching her do it.
Yeah.
And she sat down a couple of weeks ago with my husband, who's an artist, and she said, I think I want to start drawing. So he gave her a few pointers, and she drew a portrait that looked like she had been drawing for her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's also a really strong writer, and she loves to write. And so her problem, I think, is more about figuring out which of her natural abilities she wants to jump on and lean into, mm-hmm. and then what you do with that thing. And so one of the things, and she's been a little bit stressed about this. Oh, what am I going to major in? What do I do? I don't know. I can't decide. Mm-hmm. And we've said, it doesn't really matter. You know, you can go to school undecided, try this out, that out, the other thing, you know, pick a path. If it feels right, keep going. If it doesn't, switch. But one of the things that we've done recently or currently to help her start to experiment with those things is we signed her up for a pre-college creative writing class.
Nice.
That she's taking right now. And she is loving it. So she's enjoying what she's doing. She's getting to exercise her writing in a more structured way.
That's great.
One of the things she's starting to realize is she doesn't think she wants to focus on creative writing, but she knows that writing is going to play a role somehow. So even something like that just gives the kid some more opportunity to explore and experiment and feel things out for themselves.
Exactly. You know, I don't remember the exact stat, but I sort of do. When I started college, I remember them telling us the average student here changes their major 2.1 times. Mm. And so just, you know, again, talking about expectation setting, you know, you hit it on the head. You don't have to have it all figured out.
Mm-mm.
Not in high school, not when you step foot on the college campus. In fact, it's expected that things will change. And, you know, we can fight that all we want. No, figure it out at age 15. But the reality of it is that, you know, you're likely not going to have it figured out at age 15. And so it's a process. And, you know, if your daughter doesn't, you know, ask to draw, well, she might not, you know, discover that kind of thing. So that's why exploration matters. As parents, if you're like, I don't know, like, don't you have that computer science project work? So if you don't promote or say, yeah, sounds good, you know, give it a shot. And, you know, create that space where they can do that. That's also a disservice. So kudos to you. And, but yeah, that brings up an excellent point about just promoting their exploration and making sure that, you know, you're patient with them and allowing them space to be patient with themselves.
And I think you also bring up a good point that at 15, most people don't have it figured out. If my listeners could think back to when they were 15, and think about how much of their lives currently that they had figured out when they were 15, I would bet it would be maybe 5% or less. Mm-hmm. Because what do we have figured out at age 15 or 16 or 17 even?
Yep. Very little.
It just takes time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also tell teenagers, either my own kids or teens that I work with or parents of teens, that, you know, there's so much pressure on decision day thing that they do every year in the spring. It really bothers me because what school you pick and, oh, this acceptance came in and that one, and the kid has 10 acceptances to choose from and blah, 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 all this posting on social media stuff. It really bothers me because it puts so much pressure on the kid to make the right decision, as if this is like, if you don't make the right decision, your life will be over. If you make the right decision, your life is set forever. Right.
Yeah.
And it's so silly. And I tell kids, you are not signing your name in blood when you pick the school you're going to go to. Mm-hmm. You do the best, you make the best decision you can with the information that you have. Mm-hmm. And if it feels right and it's working out and you're happy, awesome, stay there. And if you get through a year and you realize you haven't made any friends, you don't like the location, you're not enjoying your classes, maybe it's time to switch, and that's okay too.
Yeah, that exactly. You know, going back to the point about, you know, these aren't, yes, they're important decisions, but they're not the be all end all. And it's not a static thing once you make the decision, right? It's still plastic. And so again, going into the headspace of, all right, well, you go to a big college, there are still major choices. There are friendship choices. You know, you can decide whom you become friends with. You can decide what majors you do. If you want to do study abroad, where you would do study abroad, and so on and so forth. So again, that's just the first decision, you know, from which many others will follow, but it's not the be all end all. Absolutely.
So you mentioned in your work that it's sometimes important to fail in order to succeed. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, I think that it's important to fail to succeed because I think that reflects trying. Mm. Right? I think that too many times I see not only students, but, you know, friends of mine, peers of mine, etc., where we like to do the safe thing. Mm-hmm. The sure thing, you know, keep the job that, you know, gives me this steady thing, even though I have this idea that I've wanted to pursue for a decade, or not pursue a certain extracurricular activity because, well, I'm good at this other thing and I know what I have to do to check the boxes. And I just want people to get more comfortable with uncertainty. And, you know, I think this is sort of the theme of our whole conversation, and where, you know, a lot of times, you know, as parents, we're trying to steer our students towards what we believe gives them more certainty, right? Do the extracurricular that we know you're pretty good at least. And, you know, do the kinds of work in school and outside of school that you are certainly, you know, good at, because I think that's going to put you on the path for college X, right? I think that's going to give us certainty. Do the major, do the job, all this kind of stuff that gives us certainty. But, you know, people who aren't failing routinely, I think aren't trying hard enough and aren't pushing themselves hard enough. And I think we've, you know, in our culture, you know, unfortunately, I'm seeing a big trend towards this kind of safety, you know, going for assurances and all this kind of stuff, because we don't want to, we're worried about our, you know, kids, how do you say it? You know, their own self-concept. We're so afraid of letting our kids, you know, fail or do something wrong or whatever the case might be. But in fact, I think we're just doing the opposite, where we're not allowing people to build resilience. And then in life, inevitably, when they do experience a failure, they go to college, their first term, they get a B, they panic. You know, they have a 3.6 GPA and getting into med school is harder. They panic. You know, they don't get the job. So, you know, the more you obsess over certainty, the more rattled you are when things don't, you know, work out exactly as you'd planned. And so I think that we have, you know, I think that builds fragility rather than resilience. And so I'm constantly pushing people to you know, to go for things, even if they don't think that they're going to be incredible at it, because mm-hmm. sometimes they're wrong and they will be incredible at it. And if they're, you know, I just want to show people, hey, you might be right that you're not going to be great at this thing, but at least try it out and know for sure, rather than think, rather than avoiding to doing stuff because you think it's not going to work out. Well, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're never going to find out. And I promise you, you'll be dissatisfied at some point later. You'll wonder, what if I had tried X when I had the time, the opportunity, etc. And so that's what I want to instill in people. What is the worst that can happen if you try? You know, that school is maybe considered a reach for you. What's the worst that can happen? They say no, fine. You're in the same spot. Oh, that scholarship, it's really competitive. Okay, so what? Photography, yeah, maybe you're not, okay, no one's born with a camera in their hand knowing exactly how to take a photo. But this expectation that it has to be clean, it has to be certain, it has to be all this kind of stuff because, oh boy, like, you know, God forbid that our, you know, that my child, you know, gets it wrong or, you know, has a hard time with it and so on and so forth. Like just this morning, I have a 3.5-year-old son who loves doing puzzles. And recently he went up from like the, you know, 20, 25 piece size to around the 50 piece size. And he had done a puzzle, you know, several times. And this morning, for some reason, he said, come help me. I can't do it. It's too big. And I said, no, I'm not going to help you. You can do it. It's not too big. And then he just did it. And then he was happy that he did it. And not to say I'm super dad or anything like that, but I think that our parents should have this type of mentality where, you know, it's okay for people to have doubts. That's a natural thing in life. But for us to not and try to protect our kids from experiencing disappointment or low self-confidence or anything like that, we're too quick to jump in.
It is true. And parents do tend to be quick to jump in. And again, it comes from that pure intention that we want to help. We want mm-hmm. what's best for our child. But sometimes our help, the best help we can give is to use some self-restraint and hold yeah. back and allow them to kind of fumble through and figure it out like you did with your child today, doing the puzzle. It's just sometimes they have to go through that discomfort of, oh, I'm not sure, I can't, I don't know, it's too hard. And just that encouragement like you gave, it's, mm-hmm. you can do this. Just give it a shot, see what happens.
Yes, it's all good.
I think that's really good advice. Really, really good. So do you have any other nuggets of wisdom to share with our these parents who are on the precipice of college?
It's going to be okay.
You
know,
I love it.
I've seen, you know, I've worked with so many students over the years, and I just want to, you know, I recognize that this is, like I said, a big sort of a big inflection point in people's lives about, you know, what they pursue and where they live and who they meet. Maybe they meet their future spouse. I get it. You know, there are a lot of big things that come along with it, but I've also seen how, you know, students who end up at the top schools, Harvard on down, sometimes they struggle when they get there. Other students who, you know, go to a program that wasn't their first choice and they blossom because, you know, my parents always said, this is a bad Armenian translation, but I'll say it anyway. It's wherever you put the good ones, they'll do good. Right. In other words, it's more, I think, about the person and their approach to whatever mm-hmm. situation that they're in rather than the situation. And I think we sometimes put too much stock in the situation, you know, having this oversized influence on our lives and our children's paths and all this kind of stuff. But I think that if you develop your child to build resilience and perspective and flexibility, I actually think that's going to pay more dividends than the school they end up at. And so that's my encouragement to families. I'm not saying don't push hard. Again, I have just as high expectations as most people, if not higher, but I also want to make sure that we're not sort of being overwhelmed by its influence.
Mm. I couldn't have said it better. That was a perfect way to summarize what we've been talking about today. And I hope that you've left, that parents walk away from our conversation feeling a little bit less stressed and a little bit less worried about what the outcome or what the future might look like for their child. And I think look at it like more of an adventure mm-hmm. to have than this stressful thing to figure out.
Mm-hmm. It's a process.
It is a process. So where can people find out more about you or connect with you and work with you if they want to?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, just visit shamasyangconsulting.com. I know it's a mouthful, but I also know you'll link to it in the show notes.
Yes.
And really in Google, you know, we've written guides on pretty much every aspect of, you know, college admissions and graduate admissions and med school admissions. So if you just type, I don't know, Shamasyan, how to get into UCLA or whatever, you know, that'll pop up and you'll be able to see some in-depth resources on whatever topic that you'd like. And, you know, on our site, it's very, easy to, you know, find a contact link at the top and shoot us an email and I'd love to assist.
Super. And I will link everything in the show notes so people can find it more easily.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for this time today. It was so much fun talking to you. And I think you brought some really good points up to help parents help their kids navigate this next phase of life.
Yeah. Thanks for creating this platform. And thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. That wraps up today's show. Wherever you are in this world, I hope that you make it a very enlightened day for yourself. That wraps up this episode of Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. If you know anyone who could benefit from this episode or this podcast in general, please share it with them. Also, I always love hearing feedback from my listeners. I welcome you to send me an email to erin@erin-taylor.com if you have any comments or questions that come up for you in an episode. Our children are our future. Parenting them is the most sacred task we will ever be asked to do. It truly does take a village to raise a child. Let's help each other to raise our children to be who it is they are meant to be. If at any point you feel like you need a little extra help and support, reach out to me. I am here to help you.